Well, John, thank you so much for taking your time for this. As we start, can you maybe talk a little bit about your current role in the organization?
Sure. Name's John Green. I'm with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. It's a state agency in Texas, and I'm the cybersecurity officer for the department. It's got a broad mission, and everything from law enforcement to research, supporting some business development within the state, as far as like tourism goes. And my role is to secure the systems. And as the fellow who hired me said, I'm trying to put fences on prairies. So
I see. I understand. And can you talk a little bit about maybe some of your prior roles? I just want to get a sense of your career arc.
Okay. Well, electrical engineer coming out of college, worked for IBM for 11 years, Dell for a couple of years. And here in Austin, I'm here in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. If you've been in technology, it's hard not to work in a startup or two or three or four. Then right around the financial crisis of 2008-09, a lot of that dried up, and the state of Texas offered me a position, and I've gone from several state agencies in a variety of project management and security roles, and I've been with Parks and Wildlife now for about a year and a half.
I see.
As their chief information security officer.
I see. Well, as I'm sure you can see the signs for, I mean, cybersecurity in general has exploded in importance over the years. And it seems both from the corporate side, the business side, it seems every time I open news, it's another company is raising a couple hundred million dollars and another round of financing with the unicorn valuation. So it seems like this, the startups are coming back, certainly, at least up until now. And then also between, you know, ransomware and very public breaches, it seems it's top of mind for a lot of people. And I guess as a result, a lot of maybe more junior professionals are seriously considering a career in cybersecurity. Some of them are switching from IT, looking over at cybersecurity. Some of them maybe are currently students. What would be your advice to them? What do you think they should spend their time on and focus on? And time obviously is one of the most critical resources for them.
Well, this isn't an original thought, but I think if an opportunity presents itself in cybersecurity, jump at it. There's a nonprofit that needs their systems tied down or walled off. That's one place to start. I'm not a big certification guy, but a lot of HR departments use that as a kind of a cutoff. Take a look at what your community college has. Maybe get some type of certificate in a 6 to 8 week course. Mm-hmm. I have to say that my experience with people that don't have experience is if they're enthusiastic, willing to learn, and get after it, they can be successful. And I have a fellow who's separating from U.S. military, and I've had him for 2 months. He came in here and turned around a major project, and he's going to do very well. He's going to do fine when he leaves my internship, and I got spoiled there too. Pick a subject and become an expert at it. Not that you don't necessarily want to get keyholed into a specific discipline like pen testing, but mm-hmm. if that's of interest to you, become good at it.
Certainly. It's interesting that you mentioned that. It seems like someone who is curious and humble and energetic, it can compensate for a lot of things and can progress someone's career if they stay curious and don't think, well, yeah. Especially as they're starting and looking for a mentor and looking to contribute their time and their their efforts pitching in a project, and this probably could be a good way to learn and get at this entry point into a new field.
Well, yeah. No, I think, you used the term humble, and I think you need to be aware of your surroundings. You know, a lot of, oversimplified, a lot of what we do in cybersecurity is tell people their baby's ugly. You know, your application is not following OWASP rules. When was the last time you patched your server? And the list goes on and on. Mm-hmm. And obviously you want to be able to also offer some advice on how to address an issue. But, being aware of your surroundings, understanding that there's other folks working, 12-hour days as well, trying to keep the business running is important to be aware of. Because at the end of the day, our role is to help the business operate securely.
Certainly. Well, and it seems like there is no shortage of challenges these days, from ransomware to cloud security to identity and access management to third-party vendors, and try to make sure that they're not being used as a access vector for less than friendly people. It seems like those are some of the things that are top of mind. But let's say if you had a crystal ball and you can see into the future, 6 months from now, 12 months from now, executives in your positions, CVP level cybersecurity executives, what in your view will be the, let's say, top three things that everyone will think about and worry about, 12 months from now?
Well, until there's a more robust response to ransomware, that's where the money is. That's where the bad actors see a return on investment. Obviously, we've got a war going on that the participants are sophisticated cyber actors, and you never know when one of their attack vectors turns into a bottle rocket and goes steering off course and hits somebody collateral damage wise and could potentially infect an industry. And, state and local government where I'm at, when we buy, a system for $50,000, $100,000, that's your tax dollars. If Fortune 500 company does it, that's a tax write-off. So the impacts and the consideration are pretty significant when, we're protecting, the Social Security Administration is a government agency. Driver's licenses are managed by state government. And we go down the list, property taxes by your local government. And you have personally identifiable information and sensitive personal information that needs to be protected. And I think in many cases, leaders in state and local government are now becoming very much aware of the fact that they need to get out in front of these issues, because when you fall behind it, it gets very expensive. And that's not even counting if you're paying a ransom. So that would be the big. The other ones, I think having a workforce, being able to break down some of these barriers that we alluded to earlier, where, maybe I can train up somebody who's enthusiastic and wants to make a career, but do I need to break down a wall with HR? Is that job listing so specific that I can't stretch? I mentioned that the war is the other one.
Mm-hmm. I understand. So it sounds like at least some of the issues will be continuation of what everyone is facing right now. It certainly seems some of those themes are not going away anytime soon, given everything that's going on. But I think this perspective that that federal, state, local organizations, they certainly have a duty and responsibility to protect personal identifiable information. And it's in the end of the day, as you rightly mentioned, it's taxpayers' dollars. It's not a write-off. It just certainly would put a lot of importance on that particular aspect of the job at hand. I guess switching gears a little bit, Athenia, the idea behind it was to provide a professional network for cybersecurity executives that would provide value, but no, would be too taxing in terms as far as time is concerned. and provide a way for professionals to connect and kind of share knowledge, succeed together, stay in the loop as to everything that's going on. And it's still evolving as a community, and we try certain new things. Some of them work, some of them don't. From your experience thus far, what are some of the things that you appreciate and you find valuable, and what are some of the things that we should change or do more of that we're currently not doing?
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that, I found of interest is the variety of folks that you've interviewed or that you've hosted on your LinkedIn platform as well. I was a little suspicious. I'm very suspicious of social media for obvious reasons, but I see value here in skills that I may not have considered or an approach I wouldn't have thought of. I'm all about stealing great ideas, and it's a platform that has offered me some things to consider and taken them to heart.
Certainly. And what do you think? Is there anything that you think we should add to what we're doing? There's a number of initiatives that we're considering for the remainder of the year, kind of various venues, but I'm just wondering if you had something in mind.
Well, I think now that, you know, knock wood, that we might be able to get back together, maybe there's some hosted conferences, localized in the sense of, you know, maybe everybody can't go to New York, but, you know, people in the South could go to Atlanta or Dallas, West Coast, you know, Los Angeles or Vegas or mm-hmm. things like that. But I'm trying to pick off some times that may not be, you know, high end convention times, or, you know, Mardi Gras in New Orleans. That may not be a great time. But I'm saying along that line, I think getting folks together, because, you know, one, we've missed it for 2 years, at least I have. And two, I find it effective to be able to sit down with somebody in the eye and, you know, cut down on some of the chaff of conversation as we do with email or sometimes even video chats.
Certainly. And it can, in this vein, we're certainly planning as I think our members becoming more and more comfortable with convening maybe in smaller groups, maybe for a dinner, or as you mentioned, a small conference, or maybe a round table. But we're also planning something probably around some of the industry events. And with this in mind, for one reason or another, I don't know the answer to this, but one of the two main events, RSA in San Francisco and the Gartner cybersecurity event, I think it's in Maryland, they're happening at the same time, I think the first 2 weeks of June. And I'm just wondering, I'm not sure if you plan on going, but if you are, which one? Is it RSA? Is it Gartner? Or maybe neither?
Well, I might have plans for that time, but if I was going to go, I'd probably go to Gartner, because I'm originally from the DC area and I've got a lot of friends there. And any excuse to get back home is a good excuse.
Certainly. I understand. Some of the other initiatives that we plan is specifically two. One is, it's tentatively called Affinia Academy, where we plan to make available various resources, white papers, research that you can literally, if you want to get up to speed as to zero trust, for example, you'll be able to find the most recent sources, and you can do this from within the database. That's one of the initiatives, and it's still kind of gauging interest. The last thing we want is obviously to create something that no one is using. And the other one is a vendor directory where again, you can search, browse, and but also want to potentially create an opportunity for members to provide reviews of vendors someone had experience with. And the thinking there is that obviously there's Gartner and the Magic Quadrants and whatnot, there is G2 Crowd, but both are amazing tools, but maybe they're not without limitations. So we feel that if you can see someone providing a review, someone who's had experience with a particular vendor, and you can see a face and a name, and you can reach out to them and ask follow-up questions, we thought potentially it might be interesting, but I don't know. What's your sense? Is it something that's worth a worthwhile initiative?
Well, you know, one of the things, and right now bring up Zero Trust, I've talked to 12 vendors in the last 10 days that have some Zero Trust element in their discussions. And it's a buzzword right now. Cutting through that has been a challenge for me to take to my executive team and say, that's not my understanding of Zero Trust. Here's what I understand it to be. And I'm not sure how this vendor fits in. But on the other side, some do. But right now, I mean, that sounds like a great idea in the sense of I'd be able to get to, you know, a third party that doesn't necessarily have skin in the game as far as evaluations. But with where I'm at right now with the tools and the environment, the threat environment that we're dealing with is my first requirement from a vendor is you have to improve my security posture. And number two is you got to cut the workload for either me or IT operations. And if you can't do that, I don't need another pane of glass. I need more fingers. So that's, I think, an offering like you, one you bring, have described, if it had a little bit more of like, you know, what requirements are really driving CISO decisions these days, that would be impactful.
Interesting. So it almost sounds like, it seems like there will be consolidation of sorts down the line. So there are so many vendors doing so many different things. Some of them are overlapping. So at some point, I imagine like a solution will come out that will be more integrated with one dashboard where you can see a lot of different things. But it's me probably dreaming about long distant future. Well, John, I appreciate you taking time for this. I think it was great. I was taking notes about your suggestions, and we're definitely considering face-to-face events of various format, probably smaller format, not a large-scale conference, but maybe dinners or roundtables that would be local. And would love to get you involved, and I hope we'll get to chat again.
Let me add one last thing, Misha, and I know you have to go soon, but in Texas, we have to do our budget planning in two-year cycles. So I'm really doing my budget planning now, starting 18 to 36 months out. And I'm being asked, what are you going to buy in 18 months? I have no idea what I'm going to buy in the cybersecurity element 18 months. The technologies are coming so fast and furious. And I've dealt with a couple of startups that are, you know, they come at me and they say, tell me what I'm doing wrong. Tell me where I need to fix things. So I think you're right. It's in a very dynamic time. The technologies, the artificial intelligence, the big data is coming together to give us a better sense of what we have and where we are. So I think also integrating some of the startups with new technology where they're comfortable talking, that would be something of interest as well.
Interesting. Certainly. Maybe we'll do like a sidebar conversation. I want to be conscious of your time, but I'd love to hear how what we do can fit in making your kind of budgeting cycle, more effective and kind of making your job easier in that part. I think the biggest thing with startups is that they're very hungry, and sometimes they promise more that they can deliver. And also, at least the members that I'm talking to, there's always a concern, will they be successful in raising another round, staying in business? And I think that's a lot of people we're talking to, they're a bit hesitant, specifically about engaging someone who's just a couple of guys in the garage putting something together. They want to see some names, some other organizations on their website, someone they can get a reference. So I think, but even kind of large organizations, to your point, technology is moving very fast. It seems like large organizations are adopting that new technology or even buying those startups and integrating them. I know Palo Alto is extremely acquisitive, Checkpoint. It seems like, every other week there's a new company raising funding, but also every other week there is a bigger organization gobbling up some of the smaller organizations. So there's, it's actually a very fast moving field for sure. So I don't even know how you would plan ahead other than put everything in other and then making it tactical as things are all around.
Well, I mean, what I do is the fellows that were here before I was here, they put in a statement called maturing the security posture. And when I first saw it, I was like, you know, what does that mean? Well, I'm probably going to steal it again because, you know, that's really what I'm going to be doing. Now, you know, we're maybe on beyond SOAR by then, but, you know, we're going to be looking at that because at the end of the day, we got to make sure that we protect the citizens' data and we fulfill the mission of Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. And
100%. But also,
you got a big one.
100%, but also you want to be tactical and address challenges as they arise with the best possible solutions rather than putting all your chips in one, making one bet on something that will completely be different or gone in 12 months time. So
I think reviewing of open source code is going to be and open source platforms is going to be something that's going to have people very wary about based on both SolarWinds and Apache Log4j. So, you know, every December has been a president. It hasn't been from Santa. So
it's eventful. Well, we'll just, to your point, try to stay out of news and trying to stay ahead of the bad guys one, at least a few steps. So again, John, thank you so much for your time. This was awesome. I hope we'll get to do it again.
Yes, sir. Take care, Mr. It's good meeting you.
Same here.